You're going to have to come down here and sleep with me.
No, I'm not coming to sleep with you.
Patrick Marber and Peter Curran's critically acclaimed bunk bed.
He always has to bring it back to the professional or the personal for the trailer soundbite.
With sleepover guest, star of The Simpsons, Harry Shearer.
You know, it sometimes feels like the stupidest thing in the world that I could be doing.
Bunk bed on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds, starting tomorrow night at 11.
Back to this evening. Ed will make his feelings known in The Archers in half an hour. Before that, here on Radio 4, the comedian and police officer Alfie Moore asks, when a neighbour falls out, who do you call?
Whoop, whoop. That's the sound that I need. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound that I police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound that I need.
Hello, my name is Alfie Moore and welcome to It's a Fair Cop. The show where you, the audience, are sworn in to face the same policing dilemmas that I face in today's real case. I'm here to offer professional guidance as an experienced sergeant who's often asked, what's the worst aspect of modern policing? Is it the unsociable hours, the violence, the constant threat of imminent danger? No, there's something far worse. Neighbour disputes. Picture refereeing an under-10s football match that goes on and on for years, and when you do pull out a red card, you can only send the offender next door. Jesus said, love thy neighbour. But did his neighbour have a faulty alarm, trampolining kids, or a failure to comprehend basic recycling bin etiquette? So let's just remind ourselves why people fall out in our official Fair Cop UK Neighbour Dispute Countdown. In at number 5, we have security lighting. Thanks to LED technology coupled with state-of-the-art motion sensors, a 5-ounce hedgehog snouting for grubs can light up the street like Aurora Borealis, or to give it its proper name, to Northern Lights. New entry at number 4, parking. Recently, paramedics attended a suspected heart attack victim. When they stretched him back to the ambulance, there was a note on the windscreen that read, you might be saving lives, but do not block my drive. Down 2 places to number 3, animals and their toilet habits. Who doesn't look forward to an exciting game of lawnmower roulette? Climbing, pun intended, 3 places to number 2, hedgerow disputes. Who needs sunshine or even daylight when you can live in perpetual shade? Luckily, next door there's a 10,000 watt security light, so at least you can see your garden at night. And for yet another week, the official UK number 1 neighbour dispute is noise! The most common noise complaint is not TVs or stereos or even droning power tools. It is the human voice. As I speak, 5 million Britons can't stand the stupid, idiotic, droning voice of the gobshite next door. Bit like the Mexicans and Donald Trump. An Englishman's home is his castle, and having that space invaded has caused some of the most heated confrontations I've ever witnessed, as we'll be discovering in today's real case. But first, some of your responses when we asked if you've had any neighbour problems. They raise the level of their garden. The fence is 6 feet on our side and 4 feet on their side. Did you do anything to annoy them back? Not really. We don't recognise them in the street. We expect them to be much taller. So, Peter tells us, have your neighbours ever annoyed you? Yes, they left their bins out for days after collection. Refused to bring them in. Oh. What did you do to annoy them back? I brought them in for them. Stuart, Lily, what did they do? OK, they had a noisy party till 3:30. What did you do to get them back? Mow my lawn at 7 a.m. OK. OK. And Stuart goes on to tell us, I'm an arbitrator in boundary disputes. let's find Stuart. What is the trick, Stuart? What is the secret of mediation in this particular field of expertise?
I usually try and sit them around a table all together without their wives, no feminist.
Mediation at its best.
Yeah. We have a pot of tea and try and get to some understanding that both sides can live with. But
what do the wives do?
They make the tea.
They make the tea. Of course they do. Chris W., have your neighbours ever annoyed you? Yes. They kicked a ball over my fence repeatedly. What did you do? Carefully and surreptitiously deflated every ball that came over. Well, what do you do for a living, Chris?
I'm a police officer.
Okay, it's time, ladies and gentlemen, to swear you all in as police officers. Could I ask you, please, to raise your right hand and repeat after me? Book him, Dano.
Book him, Dano.
You're in. You're all cops for the duration of the show. Today's real case starts with this radio message.
Tango Bravo 03, can you attend a neighbour dispute at 24 Chaucer Avenue in Scunthorpe? The informant is Mr. Barton.
Chaucer Avenue is a nice area of town. Yes, that's what I said. We do have them in Scunthorpe. And Mr. and Mrs. Barton are so keen, they open the door before I've even knocked. Never a good sign. Mr. Barton deliberately checks his watch and throws me a disapproving glance. She is excitable, conservatively attired human butterfly. He, a late 50s, immaculately dressed, balding accountant, with what I can only describe as a Hitler moustache. They're like caricatures from a 1950s sitcom. If I'm honest, I don't like them already, and they've not even spoken yet. Then Mr. Barton took me outside, explaining that he always maintained his garden hedge to a height of 7 feet. I've already decided that when Mr. Barton says 7 feet, he means exactly 7 feet. Probably finished off with a comb and nail scissors. The problem is clear. In accountancy speak, Mr. Barton has done an external audit and found a deficit in his hedge to the tune of 2 feet. Fighting back the tears, he says, look, I've no privacy at all now. That nosy old codger next door has savaged my Lelandii hedge. I gave him the appropriate professional police response and said, you want to have a word with him about that? And he said, no, what I want, officer, is for you to go and arrest him for criminal damage. So, audience cops, before we even consider the finer points of the Criminal Damage Act, let's keep it nice and simple. The neighbour has cut 2 feet off his hedge. Who's going to go next door to investigate this further? And who's telling Mr. Barton to get a life? Let's have a vote on this, ladies and gentlemen, if you would. Hands up, who's going to do nothing? Oh, I don't know. That's about 15, 20%. Who's going to go around and speak to the neighbour about this? Who's going to see the neighbour about this, investigate this further? That's the majority of the audience. OK, that's interesting. I agree with you. I go around and see the neighbour, Frank, who's late 60s, flat cap wearing, slightly grumpy. Make that very grumpy. You've come about the edge, says Frank. He's a complete pain in the arse next door. It was like having a bloody skyscraper in the garden. He may be right. If you hate your neighbour so much that you want to cause them excruciating pain, the modern weapon of choice is not a gun or a knife, it's Lelandii. Plant a hedgerow, that stuff, and watch it slowly take their light, water, space, nutrients, and sanity. Lelandii, tall, stiff, and often causing a huge amount of anger, so they're the vegetation equivalent of Jacob Rees-Mogg. I asked Frank if he and the Bartons have tried to resolve their issues through talking. Frank tells me they stopped talking months ago. Communication is impossible. I ask him straight, Frank, did you cut his edge? Yes, I did, and I'll cut the bloody lot down next time. So, audience cops, Frank's admitted to cutting the edge and fully intends to do it again. Criminal damage, as defined by Section 1(1) of the 1971 Act, is committed by, and I quote, A person who, without lawful excuse, destroys or damages any property belonging to another intentionally or recklessly. Well, it's definitely intentional, and it definitely belongs to another, but has he damaged it? Who says, yes, it is criminal damage? What's your name, please?
Liz.
Liz.
He's changed its appearance.
You think that would constitute criminal damage?
Even though it will grow again.
It will grow again. Don't you think that's a bit like arresting a hairdresser for giving you a dodgy fringe? It'll grow back?
No.
OK. That's good. OK, no, that's interesting. Who says it's not? That's definitely not criminal damage. Hi, what's your name, please?
Nick.
You think it's not criminal damage?
Purely for the fact that, like you say, it will grow back again.
I ought to just say that you don't necessarily need permanent damage. If I, for example, was to throw this bottle of beer on your shirt, which you'd have to use your imagination here because no one would ever walk out to a BBC Radio 4 recording carrying alcohol. If that was to happen, and I was to throw this bottle of beer on you, your shirt wouldn't be permanently damaged, but that could still potentially be criminal damage. The damage value would be the cleaning bill of that shirt.
Well, unless I decided to suck it all out and drink it myself.
Yeah. That took me by surprise. But thank you. No, thank you. That's interesting. So, OK. Now, that official legal definition reminded us there is sometimes a lawful excuse to commit damage. I vividly remember coming across a dog locked in a car on a scorching hot day, no window open, poor little thing was distressed and panting away. When I got out my truncheon and smashed the door window, the gathering crowd broke into a spontaneous applause, and the dog leapt forward and bit my arm. One man's karma is another man's tetanus jab. Back to our Scunthorpe hedge. And I decide I'm not recording a criminal damage. I tell Frank if the hedgerow issue arises again to get some advice from his local council about the high hedge legislation under the 2003 Antisocial Behaviour Act, which is not criminal but civil, which means the local authority leads, not the police. And that's good because it's some of the most boring legislation ever written. Basically, the local authority do have legal powers to reduce a hedge if it's over, does anybody know? 2 metres or 6'6" in BBC Radio 4 speak. The fast growing ones are called Cupressus ex Lelandii, whereas the really slow ones with no discernible movement whatsoever are called Brexitus Lelandii. So that's what I tell Grumpy Frank, the neighbour who cut down the Barton's hedge. He looks at me, scratches his chin, and I know what's coming, the counter-allegation. Every neighbour dispute I have ever been to in the last 25 years involved a counter-allegation. People are often so keen to submit their counter-allegation that they get it in before the actual allegation's been made. The best neighbour dispute pre-allegation counter-allegation I've ever had, and this is absolutely true, was a guy insisted on making a complaint because he'd had his penis bitten by a neighbour's dog. The circumstances were that the victim had placed his penis through the neighbour's letterbox. In order to urinate on his whole carpet, and the dog had gone for it. The injured party tried to claim that his neighbour was not in proper control of the dog. And I told him that I think it's more likely that he wasn't in proper control of his penis. So back to Frank, who makes his counter-allegation by pointing to some cat poo on his lawn and tells me that he's seen Mr. Barton's cat carry out the act of Sorais and has photographic evidence. So in this instance, I have to disappoint Frank by explaining that we don't have a cat poo investigation team. And so, once again, not really a police matter. I'm thinking of having cards printed that just say, this is not really a police matter. I can dish them out like I'm a businessman. There you go, there's my card, don't mention it. Do feel free to ring the number that I've made up on the card. But as I start to leave, Frank says, there's something else. But it's rather embarrassing. Oh, yeah. There are noises coming through bedroom wall late at night. What kind of noises, Frank? You know, loud noises, sort of, ooh, 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 keeping me awake. I was thinking about shoving a note through door. Saying what, Frank? Dear neighbour, I hope your exorcism was a success last night. I inquired about the frequency 3 or 4 times a week. I'm surprised Mr. Barton's got the strength to cut his edge at all. This complaint is not unusual. Statistically, 5% of people in the UK can hear their neighbours having sex, and the rest can't quite get their ear close enough to the wall. Audience cops, your options are: tell Frank noise is not a police matter. Advise him to shove a note through the door. Go around yourself and look the Bartons in the eye and tell them to stop having noisy sex. What's your name, please?
Michaela.
You're going to tell Frank noise is not a police matter?
Well, I feel like that's just something you can figure out by yourself. You don't really have to call the police about it.
What do you do?
Oh, I'm a student.
And do you live in student quarters?
I do.
I can understand why this wouldn't bother you, Michaela. I can understand that. Okay, thank you, Michaela. Who's going to shove a note through the door? What's your name, please?
Michael.
Michael.
He could just wait till, you know, he hears the noise again and then make a lovely little note and just put it through the door and, like, I hope last night was really enjoyable for you.
So you're going to try and shame the Bartons, Michael?
Yeah.
Do you live with somebody? Live on your own?
Live with my parents because I'm a student as well.
You live with your parents? And is that what you do under the bedroom door? Last one then. Who's going to go around, look at the Bartons in the eye? Who's going to man up? Who's going to be a proper copper? Look the Bartons in the eye and tell them what you think. Who's going to do that? What's your name, sir?
Dave. I think what you've got to do is try and prevent it escalating. I think if you can assess the situation, someone maybe nip it in the bud, because if it does start to kick off, then it could well become a police matter.
That's very, very sensible, Dave. It could escalate. Dave's quite right. I mean, if it's already 3 or 4 times a week, it can't escalate much, surely. But it could. And the note through the door. Thank you, Michael. Note through the door. This does happen quite a lot, where people haven't got the confidence to face their neighbours, so they push a note through the door. The best one I've seen is, dear neighbour, as a woman, I can say without doubt that your new girlfriend is faking it. This is not a good indicator of long-term happiness. Therefore, I would get rid of her and find a quieter one. I do decide to go back to speak with the Bartons. Mrs. Barton offers me another biscuit. I decline without giving her any eye contact whatsoever. I tell Mr. Barton I am not recording any criminal complaint about his hedge being cut. He's not very happy. He says I'm taking Frank's side of the hedge, and that's discrimination. People are always dropping in popular buzzwords like that one, believing it will get them an enhanced service. But on this occasion, I think that Mr. Barton may have failed to grasp the concept of discrimination. As a white, middle-class, heterosexual male, just which particular oppressed minority group does he feel that he represents? Have I erased the painful memory of our nation's shame of the time that we treat white, middle-class accountants so badly? Did we scour the globe, violently rounding up accountants, chaining them to ships, sailing them across the world, and then force them to complete the Daily Mail Sudoku puzzle? Told them to forget their family name, their new owners would give them an accountant name, like Colin or Derek. So I explained to Mr. Barton that I am not discriminating against him. In fact, I am not taking any side at all. I also mentioned the cat poo allegation. The Bartons, of course, are deniers. So vehemently deny their cat, Anastasia, has done anything wrong. She's a pedigree, a Russian blue. That's all right, then. We all know the Russians would never do anything underhand. I give the Bartons the same advice I give Frank. They're going to have to find a way to talk to each other to resolve these issues. The local authority can facilitate mediation, but once again, check for cost. Sometimes independent mediators can cost £100 an hour and consequently speak very slowly. To assist any investigation, I told them to fill in diary sheets. The police will always tell you to fill in diary sheets, partly for evidence gathering, but mainly because while you're busy filling in diary sheets, you're probably not on the phone to the police. It's a sort of a distraction technique, really. I take Mr. Barn on one side to mention the slightly awkward complaint from Frank about the late-night bedroom noises. Mr. Bart responds silently, but effectively. There can't be many more disturbing things in life than a cheeky wink from a man with a Hitler moustache. And I drive away, secretly hoping that I never, ever see the Bartons again for the rest of my policing career. But after a few weeks, Mr. Barton once again contacts me. Things have got very serious, and he's reporting that his cat, Anastasia, has disappeared, not been seen for 3 days. Maybe the cat just needed a bit of respite from the Bartons. 8 out of 10 cats prefer couples that aren't bonking all the time. He strongly suspects Frank of wrongdoing, as he's seen him in his garden digging late at night. In fact, Mr. Barton was so worried he broke his silent protest, actually spoke to Frank to ask if he'd seen the cat. In response, Frank just smirked. Audience cops, what do we do? Who's going to arrest Frank? Nobody. Sorry?
No evidence.
No evidence? We're in London, mate. But what about cat abduction?
It's just the cat.
Just a cat? It's a valuable Russian blue.
Stole the building!
Stole the building? What, like Cats Protection League armed SWAT team? It's going with a JCB. Put up a little white tent. You don't need a big one. So I have to decide whether to investigate the cat coming home. I agree with everybody in this radio theatre. Absolutely not. Once again, it's not a police matter. And I know you've not seen much action at me today, but I have no evidence to suggest foul play, no grounds to arrest Frank. I advise the Bartons to put up some missing cat posters, social media, knock on doors. Maybe a good idea to stop talking to Frank again. Seemed to work better that way. And of course, fill in some more diary sheets. Very important. A couple of days pass, I'm on my way to a low priority job, and I hear a colleague is dispatched to this.
Tango Bravo 04, can you attend a disturbance at 24 Chaucer Avenue in Scunthorpe? The informant is a man called Frank, who says his neighbour from number 22 is threatening him with a pair of gardening secateurs.
Now, they're not calling me, they're calling Tango Bravo 04. But audience cops, as you have a working knowledge of this job, should you shout up and volunteer to go instead of your colleague? You know the people involved, you know the situation, you know the backstory. Hands up if you're going to go. So that's about 5% of you going. And the rest of you are just going to keep your heads down. Camaraderie! Yeah! I did volunteer for the job, partly because I was mates with the officer dispatched, partly because of my professional integrity, mainly because I'd ignored it 2 days ago when maybe I should have gone round. And those that said this could escalate were quite right. It has. As I pull up on the driveway, I can hear them arguing around the back, hurrying around the side of the house. I come across Mr. Barton squaring up to Frank with a pair of secateurs in his hand, both exchanging pointy-fingered insults and accusations while Mrs. Barton is fluttering around, getting her highly strung knickers in a twist. Come away, Brian. He's not worth it. I shout, stop it, at which point Mrs. Barton scurries away, but the two blokes just carry on. I'll tell you how the story finishes after we've had some more of your annoying neighbourhood stories. Have your neighbours ever annoyed you? Anne tells us. New home wanted for medium-sized dog. Barks a lot, barks at the wind, barks at the sun. If anyone wants it, I'll jump over my neighbour's fence and get it for you. Thanks, Anne. That's great. Thanks, Anne. This one's from Charlotte, who tells us, I used to live in a flat above a church hall. The hall was very popular with children's parties and the noise each Saturday was phenomenal. After 6 consecutive weekends of hearing Happy by Pharrell Williams vibrating through the floor, I decided to take preemptive action, went downstairs. The residents had access to the cellar and I went in and switched off the fuse box. making sure no music could be played. Charlotte. Have you got children yourself, Charlotte?
No.
It was the fact that it was the same repertoire every weekend.
No, I get that.
In the same order.
I get that. But all those children, little children, little happy kids just sat around in a circle in the dark and the quiet because there's no lights or no sound. Or don't you feel a bit sad in your heart, Charlotte, for them? A little bit somewhere?
Well, I had to sit upstairs in my one-bedroom flat in the dark and cold whilst they evicted me in the end.
I hope that didn't come across. I'm picking on you because I hate kids too. So let's recap. The supercilious Bartons had 2 feet hacked off their hedge by Grumpy Frank from next door, who's fed up with a limited light, cat poo and loud sexual activity. When Mr. Barton accuses Frank of abducting their beloved cat, he just smirks but admits to nothing. Then, when it all started kicking off a couple of days later, I foolishly volunteered to attend and saw Mr. Barton squaring up to Frank with a pair of secateurs in his hand. I stepped between them with little regard for my own personal safety. And Mr. Barton now squares up to me, like he fancies himself as Dirty Harry. I briefly imagine him saying, "These are the most powerful hand secateurs in the world. Are you feeling lucky, punk?" I'm at a neighbour's dispute in Scunthorpe. That's how lucky I'm feeling, mate. "Go home now, Mr. Barton, or I will arrest you." He hesitates for a couple of beats, then backs down, and I follow him back to his address. You'll never guess who was sitting on the doorstep licking the bottom. No. No, not Mrs. Barton. That's right, Anastasia the cat had returned. Yeah. But a better story, if it had been an absence of many years and after a revolution, an old cat mysteriously turned up one day claiming to be the long-lost Anastasia cat. Much happiness and celebration ensued. I suggested they may want to apologise to Frank, but that was probably a little bit optimistic. Let's give tonight's Fair Cop prize. So, we've got Stuart, of course, who's the arbitrator in boundary disputes. Send the women out the room. We've got a gentleman here who I threatened to throw a fictitious bottle of beer on. Nick at the front, everybody. OK, Charlotte, of course, who hates children and threw the fuses on them so they had to sit in the dark and the cold. Charlotte, everybody. Charlotte, you're a winner. You're a winner. Yeah, there you go. So, the prize. Tonight's official It's a Fair Cop prize is these official antisocial behaviour diary sheets. With the Humberside Police logo, so Charlotte, you can have them. That's all from this week. Please try to love thy neighbour, and if you can't, do remember, it's not a police matter. Goodbye.
It's a Fair Cop was written and presented by Alfie Moore with the...